Alrighty, good morning. It is Friday. It's the weekend, baby. The Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. And you are here to join me and Ben. Simpiwe is not here today.
Hey, guys. Hello, hello.
How's it, Ben?
Yeah, so after those 2 weeks of Simpiwe coughing, she's finally succumbed to her illness.
She was holding back. She was trying to get over it. She was trying to deal with it. And then eventually she realized she can't fight this. No, she was sitting here last Friday, like,
yeah, she's had a tough time.
So I hope she gets better, and we will we'll be back to normal probably next week. So there's lots to get into today. I drove in. First of all, have you got that picture of the ants in my cup? So there are ants living in our kitchen, and they all climbed into the kettle this morning, and I didn't know this. So I pour myself a cup of rooibos tea, and this is what I find. And I decanted it into this cup, rather. I mean, I know that there are people with real problems in the world, right?
Yeah, but this is a big one.
This is a big fucking issue to me, all right? I don't want to have to swallow ant carcasses first thing in the morning, even though it is apparently very good protein.
Is it?
I'm not the World Economic Forum's not getting me eating bugs anytime soon. So have a look at this. This is how many I found after I decanted the thing into a clean cup. There are none in here, but have a look. Where's that picture of the cup? Like 10 ant carcasses. And I thought, oh, they're in the tea. They're not in the tea. They're in the kettle.
Yeah,
it's so dry.
It's a common thing, though.
It's so dry that they look at them.
Oh, that's not so many.
Oh, come on. That's horrific.
You know, you should never kill insects and animals and stuff. I hate ants the most. They serve zero purpose to me in my life.
They're very important in the ecology.
Obviously, that's why they've been created. But around office spaces...
Are you really not telling important. Me you hate ants more than mosquitoes?
No, I mean, they're obviously the worst.
And flies?
So flies are also really important. Mosquitoes aren't important. I think we've all worked out. Flies, you...
I'm sorry. In the rating system, I mean, ants, sure, they'll climb into stuff they're not meant to, and they'll make little lines all over the floor and up the cupboards trying to find food.
Yeah, when they go after the cat food, that's when they really get me.
I'd rather have ants than mosquitoes, flies, cockroaches. There are a bunch of insects that rank way above them in the irritation.
Look, I think cockroaches are more a reflection of who you are as a person, whereas ants, no matter how clean you are, they'll find you.
Cockroaches will find a way into the cleanest places and ruin them. I'm telling you, they get under your cupboards, they get behind the cupboards, places you don't know.
Okay, so far so good on that.
You don't have any cockroaches at all? Are you going to claim... purity of zero cockroaches in your house?
I'm definitely not going to come across as superior here, but I do not remember the last time I saw a cockroach in my living space. And, you know, like, obviously I'm from Cape Town, so I never knew what a part-time prawn was.
Yes, sis.
And in the first year of coming up to Joburg, everybody would sort of, like, poke that with you, you know? It's like, oh, wait until you see a part-time prawn. Mm-hmm. It's like, what the hell? How bad
can
it be?
Can't be that bad.
I haven't seen one of those in a long time either.
Listen, those things are terrifying. Anyone who lives in Johannesburg and knows, I mean, my God, they are enormous.
So what is it? It's a cockroach that just...
It's probably radiation or I don't know.
Cockroaches from the mines.
Maybe. They've been living in the mines. They've been growing strong in the mines. Eating all the nutrients that are meant for the humans. Who the fuck knows? I see someone saying here they're very peppery. Nom, 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 nom. Not cockroaches or Parktown prawns, but ants. I haven't tasted ants, thank God, but I know they've been in some of my food.
Well, the ants have got a lot of acid in them, apparently.
Mm.
It's like that's what they, because they don't bite. They haven't got mouths that go into things. Mm. So they break things down with like a salivary, acidy thing.
Well, then I might like them because I'm very into acidic food.
Well, there we go. So you obviously like the Marvel movie Ant-Man. I thought that was the worst of the Marvels.
You know... I haven't watched a Marvel movie for a long time. And in fact, that's not true. When we flew to Bulgaria, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Technically a Marvel movie.
And you said it was the saddest thing.
It was so depressing. Okay, so you watch this movie. You're hoping it'll make the trip a little bit shorter. It'll put you in a good mood. But it's the movie where Rocket, the raccoon, they show how he gets tortured. And these other animals that he lives with in this cage, the one hasn't got legs, it's got wheels. And the other one has got like long metal arms that they've sewn on.
Yeah, it's like a Dr.
And the rabbit is particularly disturbing.
Yeah.
Because the rabbit is on like a contraption where it can't really use its legs at all. It's like a spider almost, but it's made of the lower part of the rabbit's made of metal. I mean, it's very disturbing. And I'll tell you what, you should be ashamed of yourself marketing a cute raccoon, and then I have to watch this where these animals get tortured by this very, very evil man. I mean, I did not enjoy it. I'll tell you that much. Spoilt my whole fucking flight.
So I only ever watch superhero movies on flights. It's like a quirk that I have. I never watch a Marvel movie anywhere, but if I want to fly it somewhere, that's go time.
And so what did you watch?
I watched the latest Thor movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Thor was good. Like, Chris Hemsworth, he's probably the funniest guy on steroids.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's got a really good way about him, and the movies are good. But this whole gay agenda that goes into most things.
What, are they trying to make him gay as well?
No, he's not gay, thankfully, because then that's...
The Natalie Portman character,
she comes back and she's in the mix, but then she's got cancer, so that's a different story.
Yeah, it's also, why do they have to do that? You know, keep it, like, kill them in conventional superhero ways. Let them get crushed by rocks, blasted away by an enemy's laser. Why do they have to bring cancer into it? Who are they appealing to with this stuff? With the animal torture, the cancer, who are they trying to get to?
That's a lot of big talking points, but where it goes further.
Look at that rabbit. Oh my God.
Jeepers, James, that wasn't necessary.
No, I didn't need to see that, really.
So, you know, in Thor, there's that big rock guy, the guy from New Zealand made out of rocks.
Yeah.
So he's gay.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
So his species, or
the actor, or the creature?
Well, the creature in the movie, he's
the
gay.
Rock creature's the gay. The rock guy is gay. But he doesn't have genitals.
This is the thing. So why must? So how they procreate is they go to this like cave and they hold hands with another guy for about 8 hours, and then makes another child. I'm not making this up.
Let me tell you something. If you don't have genitals, you can't be gay or straight. Because you don't have genitals. And the whole point of being gay or straight is that you're into genitals of the other or the same sex. Right?
I'm not going to fight you on that. But Rockman, he procreates in his species by holding the hand of another man over a lava
patch. Why do they
have
to give him two disabilities, New Zealand and gay?
That's just how it worked out. And that's how that story ends. And then Valkyrie is also a lesbian.
Oh, yeah, well. I mean, I kind of could have guessed that.
So speaking of mythical things, there's a show on Netflix now called Chaos. Have you heard about it?
No.
So Jeff Goldblum is Zeus.
Oh, good.
And it is, wow, it's quite something. The only sex you see is from behind. Not, you know.
So it's also gay.
It's a little bit gay. But it's such a funny series because it's all about the gods, okay? And the gods in real life and how they interact with humans.
Oh, I like this.
And then the punishments and the minotaurs in there eating like Trojans. So you know that Romeo and Juliet movie with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
So think of it kind of like that.
So it's sort of a modern take on Greek mythology.
And Zeus is having like a complete and utter breakdown about, you know, things not working out and stuff. And
the only thing Zeus in classical mythology had a breakdown about was when his fucking wife Hera found out about all the pumping he was doing apart from her.
That's in there.
Yeah, Zeus was a big horn dog. Yeah. I mean...
That's in the show.
So Apollo and Artemis, his twin son and daughter, were the children of Leto. And Hera, his wife, was so pissed off that she condemned Leto. She cursed her that she would never be able to give birth to them on land. So Zeus, in order to thwart her, raised an island up out of the sea. But it was floating above the sea.
It's a big horn dog move, that.
I mean, you really have to. You have to have a lot of sexual energy, a big testosterone deposit there. That's big, big, big. And then, of course, he had sex with Europa, who was a cow. And he would disguise himself as a hawk or a dog or whatever was required to like get it on with the person of his choice.
So a sexual shapeshifter, essentially.
Big time. Big time. I mean, I don't understand. If Marvel want to go make a rock guy gay, why don't they just go and dig into Greek mythology? There's plenty of gay stuff there.
Lots of gay stuff there.
Plenty. I mean,
who's the gay, the god of opulence and raves?
A Pan? You're talking about Hermes?
Yeah. Look, no, it all happens quite fast, this show. There's lots of gods, lots of names I don't recognize.
Yeah, he's
like the god of excess and debauchery, and he's drooling all the time.
Yeah, man.
It'll come to us when our guest arrives.
anyway, yeah, it'll suddenly
but it's
appear.
It's a good show. It's really quite dark. There's a lot of like sacrifice and sex, and it's interesting though, because it's just a really cool, fast, modern take on those kind of things.
I drove in this morning in my friend's Land Rover. It's an old Defender that he's souped up, but it still only goes, it tops out at 110.
Oh, really? That's the top end.
That's the top end. So I had to leave at, I don't know, 4:30 to get here at 5:30. and it really goes. But the funny thing is, there were people in the middle lanes, because there are two of them now on the highway, who were driving slower than me. And I was like, why are you people not on the left? Why? I'm in a slow car. Now, I get that I don't have acceleration, so I stay middle to left. There are people in Camrys that were built in the 90s that do not have the acceleration, and yet they're in either the fast lane or the next to the fast lane, middle lane. I don't understand. Like, who taught you to drive? Move, bitch. Get out the way.
Yeah.
Why are you taking up space here on the highway at, I don't know, 90 kilometers an hour in the next to the fast lane, when you should be all the way over to the left? And blissfully ignorant, you drive past these people. I mean, the one guy was this obese dude who's like, he looks like he's half asleep. He was going as I drove past him. Like, I don't know what that person's up so early for, because I can't imagine they're useful anywhere.
Or just pull the double at some sort of work.
Wow.
Through the night.
No, it's terrible. Dionysus.
Dionysus. Yes,
thank you.
Correct.
That's very good.
That's the one.
Thank you.
He's the god of jawling.
People worse than Hitler, those that drive slowly in the fast lane. Well, I don't know about worse than Hitler, but
if they do it for a lot of days, hey, JP, I guess it's a cumulative title you're giving them.
Yeah. I could see that happening. Anyway, it's a nice car, but my God.
It's a beautiful looking car.
If that was your day to day, someone said to me once, and this person is very rich, obviously, it makes a great third car.
Yes. A third car at a particular destination. So if you've got a house somewhere.
In the bush, sure. Yeah,
even like a nice beach thing. It's a cool car. It just looks great, and it'll always look great.
Oh, Jason says quite rightly that obese dude in the traffic, he's up to get a McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah.
Whew, that is a foul thing, hey? Have you smelt what it smells like to drive past a McDonald's when they're making those breakfasts? It does not.
No, I try to stay away from them. It
smells like burnt plastic.
When last did you have McDonald's? Did you actually go and buy it for yourself?
I haven't had it for, I would say, probably a 4 or 5 months. And I'm being conservative.
So, highly controversial political figure, Roman Kavanagh, said on Twitter recently, because he was obviously in the Department of
Agriculture.
Beef and forestry and agriculture, whatever.
Beef. Department of Beef. That would explain John Stiernason's meat sweats, at least.
I know, and everyone has beef with Roman. So, I mean, it was a really good thing. But he said on X yesterday that Woolworths, the good meat, because Woolworths is the good meat, right?
Is it? I don't know. I think Checkers is better. And I've heard.
Checkers for game meat, yes.
No, I've heard that Checkers gets the first choice of all of that stuff.
I'm going to call bullshit on that, but that's not the issue we're going for here.
All right.
Okay, so Woolworths, if you go and buy a steak from there.
Yeah, they're not bad.
It's good.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, controversial figure Roman Kavanagh said that McDonald's sourced their meat, their beef, from the same place as Woolworths.
So it is beef. That's the first realization.
That was my first thought. Okay, so it is actually
my first realization is, oh, wow, it is actually meat. I thought it was like compacted sawdust with a bit of seasoning and
soy and spices.
Yeah.
It's actual meat.
Okay.
But it's not the same. I mean, I know like mincemeat burger and like a ribeye is very different.
Sure,
even the mincemeat you get from Woolworths is good. I mean, I make a lot of like mince and liver kind of combos, and it's good. Pull your face at me.
It's liver.
That's how you stay strong in life.
Yeah.
But I reckon these fast food companies, much
why
like
you dress so smartly.
Gareth, I woke up tired in the dark.
You put a jacket on?
It's cold in here.
Okay. All right.
Giving you gears about your shirt. But, you know, like fast food companies, much like drug dealers, I reckon they cut all kinds of other cuck into this. So they might very well get a superior source of meat.
Yeah.
But they're 200 grams of mincemeat.
They put a bit of polystyrene.
They cut that four ways, right? They need to stretch the product. So they got to put the hoofs in there and the snouts and the tongues.
You think they buy some of that as well?
I reckon there's a general mix. I reckon you're probably getting like 15%. And they've obviously put sugar and barbecue sauce and
A lucky packet.
That's how you probably get the meat.
Yeah. No, that's probably right. I mean, if they are, who are we to know? We don't know. I just don't like to eat fast food.
I would prefer to just avoid it.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Before we get like nailed by some fast food company, you've got a team of lawyers on retainer. I don't know. Let me be absolutely clear. I don't know what's put into those things.
I'm speculating on the snouts and the hooves, but I reckon I'm in the right area because those burgers, if you chat to anybody, they generally feel bad after eating fast food because of all the sugary sauces and things.
Well, Sean Chandaduri says, don't you guys have a butcher? So my parents still have a butcher. They still go to a butcher and they get their meat done a certain way. So then my dad will say he wants a steak cut this thick or whatever. And then he orders like a hind quarter or whatever it is. That's how he does his shopping. I just go to the shop and get what I need for that week. Yeah. You know, and I try to buy like whatever I need meat wise from the meat counter. I don't ask them to cut them for me.
It's a very cool thing to be able to say. I mean, it's not quite like saying, oh, my tailor. Tailors and butchers.
I don't know. Butcher.
But it's a cool thing to say.
Butcher, tailor, candlestick maker. You need to have one of each.
But I guess it depends where you live. Like supermarkets are so good nowadays that you don't have a necessary need for a butcher. Because they all claim to have their own butcheries.
It's a flex.
It's a big flex.
It's a big flex. So, Sean, you can be proud of yourself. You have your own butcher. Very well done. I do go to a specific butcher for biltong, though.
That's necessary.
Oh, my God. In fact, I'm going to go there today. I've just decided.
That's very necessary.
I'm going to go in the Land Rover Defender to the butchery. I think I'll get some masculine points on that front.
I think so.
And I might have to assault a car guard on the way.
Also not a bad thing.
All right. The meat counter at Checkers works the same as a butchery. Okay. I didn't know that, but I mean,
pretty much.
I will only get my picanha and my word from my butcher.
Force
must be. Supermarkets have no clue. Okay, so Carl. Okay, Poras know their meat as well.
They do.
So I'll give Carl that. He definitely. By the way, I heard Pora is like you can't call people a Pora.
Poras, how do you feel? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, tell us, Poras. How do you feel about being called Poras?
Poras unite and give us a consensus. Oh.
Come on, tell us. McDee's uses top beef supply, but they don't put all of it in the patty. The beef in the patty is 100% beef, but they add a shit ton of other stuff.
Okay.
That is what Cullis says.
Cullis, I think we're on the same wavelength here. It's like drug dealers.
You can hide stuff in the mince. Mince will disguise a lot of things.
I'm sure there's guys living in these sentenced apartments that use 100% cocaine in their cocaine, but they put other stuff in there.
Oh, look at this. Morgs in Cape Town. This is such a Cape Town answer. Goodness, Josie boys, you don't have to buy everything from shopping centers. Meat from ethical butchers only. Butchers who know where the meat is grown. Ryan Boone in Cape Town is the business. Okay. Fair. I must tell you right now, I don't know and I don't particularly give a shit whether the cow had a nice life before it appeared on my plate. I really don't. I don't know. It might have been massaged like those Wagyu beef cows, but they still get killed for your meat, right? So you're just putting an extra step between you and the food, and you're trying to make it sound like you're a good person. And I don't know if it makes you a good person. I don't see you visiting the abattoir and petting the animals they go in for their stun gun experience.
I retrospectively respect my meat, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no. You pay for it. That's my respect for the meat. Yeah, I pay a lot of money for meat because meat is expensive. So that is my care and consideration. It's like when someone says at work, oh, work is so hard. And I go, yeah, but that's why we pay you.
Yes.
Because if it was easy, people would do it for free. If the meat was cheap and it was really good and the animals were being mistreated, that's not cool. But because you're paying a lot, you expect the people down the chain. This is not my responsibility. I'm not getting involved. I don't want to know how the sausage is made. I just want it to be done right because I'm paying a premium for it. Fair enough.
But this whole organic thing as well, I mean, in theory, wonderful. But it's one of those line items. They go, okay, well, if you make it organic, we can charge more. And there's going to be fuckery with this because that's how people work.
They add a tax. And they add a tax because you feel bad. It's like, I've been once bitten, twice shy by Guardians of the Galaxy. I won't go back.
Yeah.
Because they made me sad with the animal abuse in that movie. But I'm not going to start asking questions about my steak, lest I find out that my steak was improperly obtained. And if it was, and it tastes really good, I'm going to have a dilemma. And I'd rather not dig where it's, you know, where I'm not meant to be digging. Don't scratch that itch because you might discover a bunch of stuff that you don't want to know. Just enjoy the meat. It's one of the best things about being South African. One of. Okay, we got a lot of good things going on here. We just had Jan Brey, that terrible racist, and Brey Day, Heritage Day. What a racist. Can I just reiterate, like News 24 is so right. He's such a racist.
Yeah.
I mean, just handing out stuff just to whites. Just to whites.
Because News 24, we're just trying to cover good stories, ethical, organic stories. And then race just gets in the way. Those poor guys, you know, they're just trying to do a job.
And here's Jan Brey just
dogged by racism. Yeah,
just trying to get his racism out there. Anyway, listen, we're a country that loves meat, right? Shisanyama. This is what we do. And you don't have to be extremely rich to get meat, but it is expensive. So I don't think for everybody it's like a regular meal. It's not like something you have 2-3 times a week. You know, for most people in this country, it's maybe once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. And certain kinds of meat are way more expensive than others. I love lamb. Love it. Mm. And well-cooked lamb, just someone who really knows what to do with it. That's magnificent. You can't get better.
Yeah, going back to the ethical thing again, like the Karoo would be a beautiful place if it wasn't for those little land maggots, but they're nice to eat.
Oh, they are so nice to eat.
I mean, like the Karoo would be a lovely, normal sort of
And they place. Provide, I mean, if it's not wool, it's meat. Yeah, both are good.
There's always a trade-off with these things. But I would like that if you are harvesting or farming meat or whatever, be ethical.
Harvesting.
Don't then make me be impressed by you being ethical.
Yeah, just do it.
That's like us going, well, guys, you know, today we're on time to do the show. And I think it's really important to remind you that we're on time here. It's like, yes, this is your job. Make sure you do it.
So Carl does say on the poorer thing, most people just call me a puss, so I'll take poorer all day long.
Okay, well, yeah, so we tried. My poorer friend.
My poorer friend absolutely hates it, but he's always angry. So who knows? Poorers proudly call themselves poorers, says Ginger Ninja. I once got into trouble for that when I was still on 702. This is years ago. And I told a joke about a poorer. And some poorer called in and complained. I was like, yo, this is bad. I mean, that was in the 90s, early 2000s.
I can imagine how they started the conversation. They look at Gareth, I'm a poorer.
No, that's how it
and
went.
I don't like being called.
Well, they complained directly to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission.
Oh, so late.
Those guys have had so little to do since I left radio. They basically, I mean, they shut down their offices. They did. Since I left, they have nothing to do. The Broadcasting Complaints Commission is just like a vestigial organ now. I think there's still one old lady in an office or something, and she gets written letters from very old people in blocks of flats in Killarney who still have a problem with, I don't know, Anele, you know, going to a competition too early when she said it was going to be at 7:15 and she went there at 7:14. And I was dialing on my phone, but it just didn't get through quickly enough, so I'd like to complain. That's the kind of shit that they get now. I mean, in my days, it was stuff like poorers.
It should just be a website with like FAQs now.
Yeah, I don't. Understand. I mean, I've always thought the Broadcasting Complaints Commission was stupid.
But it should be like a series of things. You go in there and you register and you go to different sort of screens, like a yes, no thing. And then eventually after 5 screens, it just says, thanks, now get a fucking life.
Yeah, well, the problem is that people who complain are too stupid even to follow those simple instructions. I mean, imagine waking up in the morning and going, all right, today I'm going to find something to get pissed off about. And I'm going to let it get to me so much that I'm going to write a handwritten letter and go to the post office and send it. That's what they used to have to do.
Yeah.
It's like letters to the editor at the newspaper when that was still a thing. I mean, you have to have your head read if you're actually going to take the trouble to go, dear editor, I would like to complain about the way Helen Ziller appeared on this and this day in your newspaper saying the following things. As if anyone on planet Earth gives a fisherman's fuck about what that woman says. Not Helen, the woman who's complaining.
How was your chat with Helen? I haven't listened to it yet.
It was very good. So Helen, she appeared, this is yesterday for the Burning Platform, she appeared on screen, but she had her glasses on, and there was a huge glare in her glasses, and she looked like terrifying. So I said to her, Jesus, Helen. She said, oh, sorry, there's a terrible glare. But she's great. I like Helen because she's just unafraid. She's like, you know, you don't have to agree with her. Probably I don't. In fact, I took her on about climate change and stupid Alan Windey and all of that nonsense, which I've complained about before, so I won't go down the same path. And she gave some very diplomatic answers. So we don't agree on a lot of things. And I do think she's as tough as nails. But, you know, like, I admire courage.
Yes.
More than almost anything else. Because especially in politics, what you have is a bunch of spineless, craven, venal losers who will just do the minimum to stay there and earn a salary that they actually shouldn't be earning. That's what you get in politics. And she's not like that. I don't think she's ever done anything for the money. I mean, she's very humble. She doesn't, she's not flashy. I can't imagine Helen like buying a Louis Vuitton handbag, you know? No, I don't know what she'd do with it.
She'd probably be like, her flex is getting the cut fruit from Woolworths rather than the fruit.
Yeah. And even that, she'd go, I don't know if I should. It's a splash of yacht. It's a bit of a splurge. Anyways, I don't know about that. But yeah, she was great. We talked about Ramon and Ronaldo a little bit. A couple of questions about the mayor of Pretoria and what's going on there. It was okay. She's good. She's not afraid to talk about anything.
Well, just to go on your show, I mean, how many people don't go on there because of the fear? Something might be said, something might be taken out of context, so they'd rather just not do it.
That's true. And they do that because basically they are... People say no to being on the show because they're scared that I'll ask them something they don't want to answer. And the only thing you have to do if I ask you something you don't want to answer is say, I don't know, or I don't want to answer that.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to sit there like Deborah Patter and hector you for 3 hours about, but why won't you answer it? Yeah, why won't you answer
someone?
Yeah. Like, that's not the point of a show.
No.
If you want that, then ask for Kay Burley on Sky News.
She's still on Sky News.
She's still on Sky News. Going. Kay Burley. I saw her.
She just murdered the other applicants because she's long in the tooth.
She's long
well,
in the tooth.
To
yeah. Mm-hmm. She put a lot of makeup on in the mornings and they'd get her ready. You'd have to dress mutton up as lamb for that show, let me tell you. Kay Burley. And she's always so snide and like...
sour.
No, but it's more than that. It's a self-righteousness. It's like a... She's so... surly.
It's like Deborah Patter if she wasn't charming.
Yeah. I mean, Deborah, at least, I did meet Deborah on a number of occasions and found her to be very charming. But this Kay Burley, I can imagine even at restaurants, she like gets shirty with the waiters.
Passive aggressive about the breadsticks or something like that.
Oh, is that all we get?
Just this, is it?
Yeah, it's just this. Okay, thanks. Tell your manager, that's great. That kind of thing. She's just, I don't know. Kay Burley, it gives me a funny feeling.
Yeah.
That's not a good one. I saw her interviewing, this is on the internet, I don't watch Sky News. There's a clip of Angela Rayner, who's the deputy prime minister in Britain at the moment. So Keir Starmer's 2IC. She's this working class ginger.
Oh.
Yeah, rough. I mean, makes Sarah Ferguson look fantastic, all right?
Wow.
Yeah. Quite something.
Gosh, that's a thought.
And she's like, oh yeah, of course I like to go with Bifa. Of course I like to go there and party with the DJs. Yeah, it's great. I'm working class, she says, proudly. Peasant.
No.
Absolute peasant. All right, so, look, the Bulgarian terrible twins. Go to Serbia next, says Snipes.
So it turns out a guy in my golf school is from Bulgaria.
No way.
And he's like, hey, you went to my homeland. It's like, okay. He was so proud that someone else went there.
Yeah, I know one Bulgarian. He was also really, really charmed that we went there. And I was like,
one for us.
Yeah. Will you go back? He says. I said, no.
So when we got back, I watched a few YouTube videos around certain things, and I was fascinated. That's how I like to do. I like to go to countries quite, you know.
Sure, off the beaten track, a little bit different.
Wide open thing.
Sure.
And the gypsy marriage markets.
That was quite something.
Fuck, it's the thing. I mean, so like poorers.
We didn't encounter any women who were in the gypsy marriage market.
No. So kind of like poorers, gypsies don't like being called gypsies.
Yeah.
But the whole marriage market's quite something. So if you have a remotely good-looking daughter, you only sell her.
You sell her?
Yeah. So it's a full-on market, okay? So they pull in, and young girls are, you can't have a relationship. You know, you can't damage the goods, so to speak. So these kids basically are homeschooled. They live in isolation. zero social skills because they're
so primed. They have to be a virgin when they're ready to sell.
Yeah, ideally. And then they prime them for this market experience. So lots of money gets exchanged, like bearded, like hairy dads take the money. But it's actually become a thing it's become a thing of pride now. So if you are in this community and you don't get married for money, then it's kind of like you've missed out. And then you'll be judged by society. It's just very weird how every country's got certain things about them with certain quirks. And as much as like arranged marriage has always been such a taboo thing, for them, a lot of these girls, like that's their purpose. If they just go into ordinary life and get a job.
I feel very sorry for people who are born into that kind of world. Can you imagine being raised by the family that you love and then they sell you?
But isn't that their kind of love though?
Oh,
it's almost the same with like Indian families and beauty queens and Bollywood kind of stuff. That's their purpose now. There's no other.
Sure, it's rough, hey?
Look, not for me and you, Gareth, but that's what they don't deviate from. And then at least they know what their purpose is.
Helen's skin is so thick, it's probably the stuff in the LV. It's probably the stuff the LV bag is made of.
Well, it's thicker than a canoe, I can tell you that much.
She's
more like an African buffalo.
Who started that was the Portuguese in South Africa. Nowhere else in the world will call Portuguese citizens poras. Pora is a derogatory word. Now you're starting something new, says Linda Oliveira. So she's a pora,
yep.
And she's upset. She doesn't like that word. Well, so Linda, why is it derogatory?
So Linda, that's the kind of information that we need. So it's endemic to this country.
So, but if the poras in South Africa started it, then they can't be cross if other people start using it eventually, right? Or is it only for poras? It's like the N word of poras.
So now it's the P word.
It's the P word.
That's the name of this podcast, clearly, the P word, because you can't say poras anymore. Let it be known, Gareth. Let's just say it one more time, and that's it.
All right. I'm sorry then. About that, Linda Oliveira.
It's not the P word. Thanks, Linda.
Okay. We got a lot of poras listening to us this morning. Sure. Okay. So, Ben, those daughters who don't get sold, is that like Temba Bavuma? Says Carl.
Yeah, Carl, pretty much. It's like an auction. There was an auction for the T20, SA20 this week, and Temba didn't get sold again. Could those Indian yokes pull in here?
I don't think that's right that they have. You can't be selling black people in 2024. That's not right. Is that what they did?
So the SA20 is basically like the carbon copy of where the IPL market comes from. Oh. And the Indian Oaks, who own the teams, they rolled in here. And everyone's like, yeah, you got to buy Temba. You know, he's the captain. This. Oh. They're like, the fuck we are. We don't think he's good enough. We're spending any money on
him. So they didn't buy him.
No.
So he's left on the.
No free rides with these Indian businessmen.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Well, that's quite. We must get some sport in just now, actually. Before we get to that, though, you've been watching this Menendez Brothers thing. Yeah. I've seen the trailer. So I saw the trailer last night.
Monsters.
Yeah, and I thought I got to watch this because I remember when the trial happened. It was very disturbing. It's these two, correct me where I'm wrong here, two brothers, they murdered their own parents.
Yes, savagely with shotguns.
Yeah, and then they lived this life for a while until they were eventually tried and sent to prison.
So that was their downfall. So their whole thing is that the father buggered them senseless.
Oh, is that what he did?
From the age of like 6 all the way to 18. A lot of interference physically, emotionally.
Their own father?
Yeah, would do all kinds of, so they say. I mean, obviously the parents are dead, so they can't defend themselves. But there was a lot of abuse in that family from the age of 6 onwards, basically just sex grooming them.
Jesus.
And doing all kinds of horrible things. And that was kind of their defense. But the thing is, they only went for that defense after they got caught. So they killed them. And then they would just hope that somebody would think, oh, it's a mob hit. And, you know, they were just hoping that they could just live free.
So have you watched the whole thing?
Yeah. So I finished it all. And it's an interesting story because if it was... So the woman who represented them in court, she literally had a similar case prior to that where the son killed the dad.
Yeah,
but there was abuse, and he went with that straight away. So he got manslaughter, which then got cut down. Eventually, he ended up being in prison for like 5 years. So these Menendez jackasses, they were of the opinion that we get this lawyer, we play the whole my dad used to like, you know, suck my dick kind of thing.
But they caught on late.
They caught on, it's too late. So there was this buffer period where they said not guilty, we didn't do it. And then when it was completely true, no one could get away from the truth here because the one son went to a psychiatrist and confessed because he had to tell someone. And then the psychiatrist side check, very different story, that one, then blabbed to the cops. So then they're like, well, obviously they did it because there was no sign of forced entry. There was no other, but there was no like P. Diddy kind of stuff.
But no one was curious about who it might have been, just like some opportunistic person on the street.
There was no motive. It's like no opportune person because nothing was stolen. It wasn't a home invasion. It's Beverly Hills. And so then these guys, they're like, okay, well, our dad did all these things to us. And then all of the women jurors were like, oh, that's so terrible. So the first trial was eventually a hung trial because all the women were like, these poor kids, they've been so molested. We can't send them to the death penalty. And everyone else is like, kind of seeing through your story, probably psychopaths.
You know, thank God for women because they have empathy and compassion and all of those things built into them. But in some places, it's just not useful.
Yes.
Like, you know, guys can be complete jackasses. They can be vicious, stupid, toxic, aggressive, all of that stuff. And I think we live in an era where that stuff is pretty much discussed on every possible platform. So it's not as if anyone's hiding the ball on that front. But there is such a thing as toxic femininity. It's like too much compassion, too much empathy. You let horrible people like this off the hook.
So one of the great things,
because all they do is they play on your emotions, they play on your heartstrings.
Absolutely.
And if you are, like we often say, someone is stupid enough to be convinced by a bad argument, but it's a kind of emotional vulnerability when someone can play on that and get you to exonerate them of a terrible crime, for example. All you have to do is just wah, 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 and then some lady on a jury is like, oh, we're going to let you off.
And they get coached and they deliver these things. So when you watch the show, now, I think the guy's name is Ryan Murphy, the same guy who did the Dharma series.
Okay. So he really likes killers.
Well, that's his whole thing about monsters, right?
Right.
But the way this, I mean, I'm a massive fan of cinematography and how these things work out. And it is so deliberate in places how they want you to go through the emotions. Like they want you to feel sorry for the parents. Then they want you to side with the kids. There's this one episode. It's 35 minutes of just one camera angle, where they literally, like a Ken Burns pan on the young son, where he sits down with the attorney in like a briefing room, and for 35 minutes, it's like one take where the camera slides ever so slightly towards him. It's wide, and then it ends on tears of him, like close frame.
Wow.
And he breaks down the abuse from start to finish over the decade or so. And it is just one camera angle, one scene for the whole episode. So it draws you in. But at the end, like a juror, you got to then weigh all the things up. Now, when the trial was declared a mistrial, a hung trial, when they went back, the prosecution said, okay, we're going to do this again, but you can't play your dad like molested you thing. So the sexual abuse was taken out of it, which is really weird because that was their only defense. And second time around, it was like, nope, we're scrapping all of this, inadmissible, whatever. We're going to get down to you killing your parents. And ultimately, that's what it boiled down to. So they didn't get the death penalty because there was some compassion there. But they got life. Now, if it was a manslaughter thing, they would have been out 10 years ago. So now all this new evidence is potentially coming up that, you know,
they're still in jail now?
Yes, they are. So they're still there for life. But what they're saying is that if this trial was happening today, they'd be more compassionate towards mental health, be more compassionate towards abuse.
Mm.
But again, this, no one can prove all the abuse. I mean, the one kid went to hospital because he had a sore throat, which obviously was maybe the dad jamming his cock in there. Or he could have fallen with an ice cream lollipop and just like bruised himself. So there's all these things, but again, there's a lot of hearsay. But then another piece of evidence come out that the dad, who was in charge of this major entertainment business, he apparently raped a guy from Menudo, like that young...
it was Ricky Martin's old
Ricky
band.
Martin's old thing. So there's a guy came out, he said he was 14 at the time, and he was raped by Jose Menendez. So if that
sounds like a class guy, this Jose Menendez. But the fact is, look, if you get abused by your parents, it doesn't mean you get to kill them.
That was Joan Rivers' thing in her interview with them.
So Joan Rivers interviewed them?
Barbara Walters, sorry.
Barbara Walters. So you don't, the law doesn't really give a shit about how you feel.
Yes.
The law is about an act, a chain of causality, and a motive. That's all. The motive is the only part where you get to discuss why you did it.
Yep.
They try to put together what your culpability is, right? Based on whether or not there was a motive. But the law doesn't give a shit whether you had a great relationship with the person that you killed or not. I mean, otherwise, someone walking off the street and just stabbing somebody, oh, well, there's no real relationship there and there's no real reason for it. Must be mental illness. We'll let them off. That's not how it works.
Well, it is murky like this. And this is why I think when a show breaks all these different things down, you see different standpoints and you get to question it better than just watching like a 5-minute documentary or whatever on YouTube.
Did you kill the person? Yes, I did. Okay, well, then you're guilty.
But it's just,
again, doesn't matter what your reason was.
But there's people always go into motive. And that's the whole thing about the difference between a manslaughter case and like a first degree murder kind of case. But I mean, these oaks were, they probably weren't the smartest. But then the counter argument is, but they were so dependent on the parents because the parents just controlled them utterly. And this is how they broke.
Yeah, where? I mean,
yes. I get that.
Feel sorry for them if they had a bad relationship with their parents. If parents were abusive, that's not nice.
It's not nice. But then again,
you don't kill, you don't get to kill someone. Listen, unless it's in self defense, which makes perfect logical sense to me. If someone is going to try to kill you and you kill them first, then, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, if the mom and the dad were like coming at them with knives, it reminds me of that Henry van Breda.
Yes.
Remember him?
So that was 9 years ago.
Yeah. That was at some fancy estate in Stellenbosch or something. Yeah.
Dishalza Golf Estate.
And this guy went into his parents' bedroom and axe murdered them with an axe.
Axe.
That's violent as hell.
So that's another thing about these two stories. I'm glad you brought it up because both spoiled rich kids on paper, essentially.
Right.
Because that was the whole thing. It's like, well, your kids didn't exactly have it tough. There's kids getting abused out there who have nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys got all the opportunities.
They get abused and they don't get supper.
You probably could have run away from home in that luxury car your dad bought you.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is that, you know, the show says that they use shotguns because that's the only gun they can get on short notice. Mm-hmm. And they were doing this whole thing like, our parents are going to kill us, so we must kill them first.
Okay.
The Henry van Breda thing, I mean, that guy just seemed like an absolute psychopath.
Well, he went in while his parents were asleep.
But to murder with an axe?
Yeah, that's very violent. Really, like, very aggressive.
I mean, murder's murder. Let's not try to make out anything more
than
that.
Yeah, but an axe is a particularly...
But an axe is it's a statement killing, right?
Jesus.
It's a big thing. Like, there's a lot of rage in an axe murder. A bit of poison could have done the same thing.
So, Patrick says, I always argue this story about being mentally ill and murder. It's not as if it's the victim's fault the person wasn't healthy. Not saying they should be jailed, but equivalent time in an asylum. Well, you see, we don't even have asylums anymore. So you now don't have the option of that. You either send someone to jail or you release them. That's why we've got so many crazy people all over the streets of the US.
Yeah.
Living in homeless shelters or on the street or in tents or in boxes. Crazy, crazy people who literally talk to themselves out loud the whole time.
We have them here. I walked past the guy the other day.
Fewer.
Was like that.
We have fewer, I would say.
Definitely fewer.
Gareth, can we get the lady that strangled her druggy kid on the show, please?
Oh,
who
wow.
the hell's that?
There's a lot of true crime out there. I know it's an entire genre that women flock to, and I've never really dabbled in it other than the show. Wow. People live lives, huh? And there's things that happen behind closed doors that will always shock you.
The one brother had a cell next to O.J. Simpson.
Yes, that was a bit. So then another thing about that.
Hi, O.J.
Another thing about the story is that when it happened, it was a very interesting time back then. There was the huge earthquakes. There was the Rodney King riots.
Yeah.
There was O.J. coming in and out. And they were also so pissed off that O.J. managed to kill his wife, but he got off.
Yeah.
And it's just like funny little things in the show. It's like O.J. had a tagline. We have to have a tagline too. If you've been abused, you can't be accused.
Oh, is that what they were coming up with?
It's just... It's a really good show. Like, you really do get sort of brought in. But that Lyle, the older brother, he'd lost his hair in his teens. So he wore a wig.
Oh, Jesus.
There's trauma there. And there's no doubt there's trauma there. The extent of it, we'll never know. But it's a very interesting story.
Wow. Okay. Ellen Puckis is the woman who killed her tick addict son. Don't know anything about her.
That's an interesting story.
I'll have to look it up. But that is interesting. Yeah. I listen. It really disturbs me because these are not like people who are crazy and living on the street. These are like wealthy people who live in the house with their parents and decide to murder them. It's very, very weird. In the trailer, don't they say something about like this isn't a killing for ordinary reasons. There's something dark going on here, something like that.
So the mother, who was an ex small town beauty queen who just became like a household alcoholic, she went to a
psychiatrist. Probably because of the husband.
She was in therapy and said, there is a secret about this family that's going to come out eventually, as in there was something really going on there.
Whew.
And then the cousin was basically corroborating the story of the sexual abuse. So what happens to the kids, because they were forced to be tennis players. So there's a bit of Andre Agassi in there as well. Mm-hmm. And then after tennis, he would then shower with them and molest them. So that's what the cousin kind of alludes to that, and that he was at the house one time and the mother got angry when he went near the bathroom. It's like, stay away from there. And they were big into showering and man sex.
Good Lord. I'm so glad I didn't have any of that shit in my childhood. You know, I think about these stories and I'm like, people have to put up, children, to put children through that shit is just so horrible. I mean, you are on their side when you think about stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think hell was created for pedophiles, but because it's just the worst crime. You ruin someone's life.
Horrific.
And then it can spiral into something like this.
I have horrible internet connection. It allows me to listen in the background, but not to watch, says Mapelo. Well, what do you want me to do? We start the show again? When you have a better internet connection, we'll just wait here until your internet connection improves. According to the Google, the Menendez brothers are still financially well off, regardless of the millions spent on legal fees and other spending. So they still have a whole lot of money.
I'm not sure from where, though, because on the second trial, their frizzy-haired lawyer was pro bono, as in they pissed through the money quickly.
Really?
Yeah. We saw with Oscar how much those court cases cost.
Yeah, I remember watching the only, because I'm not into these crime things at all. I mean, I think like life is hard enough. I'm not going to fill. It's like, that's the same reason I was upset with Guardians of the Galaxy for ruining a perfectly good foisting animal abuse on me. I didn't like it. I don't want that. I do not subscribe to this.
Yeah.
Right? So I remember watching once a while ago, the Sharon Tate murder thing.
Oh, yeah, hectic.
It was a movie, man. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. And I remember watching that and thinking, oh, what a terrible story. And then, of course, you go down the rabbit hole of looking up the actual story and you see the pictures of the house and you hear about who was there. And, you know, it's just, oh, these true crime things are terrible because it also reveals what people are doing when no one's looking.
Yes.
That's the scary thing. It's like you think most people are just, I don't know, cooking supper, driving to work, but some of them are plotting nefarious schemes the whole time. There are actually people out there who are trying to figure out ways to make other people's lives a misery.
But much like animals, we have that in us.
Yeah.
It's how you nurture it and how you develop it.
Oh, it's so bad.
If you go back in our bloodlines, our ancestors have done some pretty horrible things because they had to survive or to just stay warm or to eat whatever.
Yeah.
And those traits are there.
Terrible things.
But just don't activate them.
Terrible things.
I live a placid life. I don't want to activate my inner serial killer.
No.
It's there.
I would prefer not to.
Dark thoughts. Everyone has dark thoughts.
Yeah, of course.
I think of murder.
But acting on them.
Not a lot of, like, less than a worrying amount.
I thought of murdering that oak in the traffic this morning, but I didn't act on it.
Exactly.
You can't go to jail for a thought crime. Thank God. Otherwise, we'd all be in jail. The jails would be full. There'd be no one running society. Okay. So what happened on Guardians of the Galaxy, Gareth, says Leto? Oh, you have to do this again. There were, you know, Rocket the raccoon. Okay, so, you know, he stands on his hind legs and he talks.
And he's a pilot.
And he's a pilot and he's like super, super intelligent. So he was raised as a normal raccoon and then they took him into this laboratory and they did vicious and cruel experiments on him and a whole lot of other animals. He was in batch 49 or whatever it was.
He made it through.
Oh, it's a horrible, but it's just horrible. It's like, I don't like seeing animals being hurt. I really don't. It's the same thing. It's why I don't watch serial killer documentaries. I might not watch the Menendez thing. I don't think it sounds like my cup of tea.
Like I really think you should watch it because you know the worst part's obvious.
And I don't want to see that.
Yeah, like there's other things to watch. It's just that I never watched true crime either. That's why I was so taken by this story and how it was just portrayed in the series.
Ben needs to start Dickheads of History again.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Ben used to come in and tell us about the worst people in history.
Yeah.
How dreadful they were. And there are lots to choose from. Okay. Let's do a little bit of sport quickly. See what's going on here.
Well, it's a big weekend for football, MTN 8 final. So, you know, there's something about something inevitable about South African football that they play stuff and Sundowns eventually win.
Yes, that's what happens. That's
been what's happened for so long now.
Everybody plays and then Sundowns win.
But for the MTN 8 Cup, which is obviously the best eight teams from the previous season, they come together at the start of the season to play for this trophy. Mm-hmm. And Pirates have been the Sundowns of this. They've won the last 3 out of 4. And it's happening this weekend, Moses Mabhida. So that's Pirates versus Stellenbosch, Saturday at 6, the Moses Mabhida being the sort of neutral stadium.
Right.
So there's huge amounts of support for Pirates in KZN. Mm-hmm. It's one of those like legacy teams. So that's a massive attraction on a local perspective. But this week, I mean, this year, the Champions League got expanded. So there's more matches. It's a new pool system. And initially, I thought this is cool because it just looks really attractive and that you've got one log rather than all these different sort of groups. Right. But it just means that there's just endless football. Football. It's all the time. But the games this week were pretty good. I mean, Juventus were 2-1 down. They had a man sent off and they managed to beat Red Bull Leipzig. You know, those kind of games are cool. Man City beat some Slovenian team, I think. Aston Villa beat Bayern Munich, which was a really big deal.
Some Slovenian team.
Liverpool won. Arsenal won 2-0 against PSG. So there's a lot going on, and some of the games are really, really interesting. And then there's the Europa League, which is still the embarrassing one to be in. It means that you're not the best in your country.
Really?
It's like one of those you can also play, but you're not as good kind of things. And that's where Man United live, naturally, because that's where they are, like them and Spurs. And Man United are just like the gift that keeps on giving. They're kind of like how the English cricket team have been for so long. You know that there's ability there, but ultimately they're shite. And there's just drama all the time. So Man United last night, this is just pure theater. And you know from obviously on the Bounce Show, Sandile is a long-suffering Man United fan.
Yeah.
So after 20 minutes last night, Man United 2-0 up. Oh, this is it. The turnaround. Yeah. The Ten Hag plan has been stuck to. It's all working out.
And he's messaging you going, look, I told you.
It's all
you.
Happening. Yeah. No, those fuckers were 3-2 down within no time.
Yeah.
So 3-2 down to Porto. And then Man United's captain keeps getting sent off.
Shame.
So he got sent off again. And then somehow Harry Maguire looked around and was like, fuck, I get paid a lot of money. We should probably be less shit. And he scored a goal right at the death. And they drew 3-3. So midweek football nowadays is so entertaining, which then gives us more fodder for like the weekend stuff. So Man United, they haven't turned the corner. No one knows it is. Sandile made a really good point saying, you guys are so cruel. You're giving Ten Hag one more week in the job by having the draw. But so this weekend, they will play Aston Villa. And Aston Villa, as I said, they just beat Bayern Munich. So that's a really big thing for them.
Right.
So Man United will be taking on Aston Villa 3 o'clock on Saturday. Crystal Palace will be taking on James' team, Liverpool, who they look good. Like they look really good at the moment. You know, Mo Salah is really exciting at the front there. Maybe his best years are behind him. But Liverpool are going to be like this under-the-radar sort of team all the way through. I mean, Real Madrid lost to Lille in the Champions League this week. Overwhelming favorites in the Champions League. So they're losing. Man City's got all the court cases around. They might not get all the way this season. So Liverpool are going to be dark horses wherever you see them now. They've got the embarrassing win out of the way already. Arsenal will be beating Southampton. That's at 4. And then Man City will be taking on Fulham. So we've got a nice bunch of games. Chelsea. All their fans are still talking about Cole Palmer scoring 4 goals, which was a while ago, but they're still in the mix. They'll take on Nottingham Forest 3 on Sunday. And then Brighton, who are very big behind the LGBTQ community, they'll take on Spurs.
Is that their thing?
That's their big thing. That's the differentiator. Brighton. Into it. Brighton will take on Spurs at 5:30 on Sunday. So there's lots and lots of football, but there's also lots and lots of rugby. Now, I think it's about, 48 days until the Box play again. Just won the rugby championship, a lot of euphoria. And, you know, it's just been such a great season because Box Saturdays have become such an amazing thing.
And, of course, last week was a big thing for Eben.
Eben's 128th test match.
And it was in Nelspruit where people just, they drink more than I thought was humanly possible.
So I want to go to the Nelspruit test match next year.
Looks good, huh?
So we had Sibusiso Kotelo on our show yesterday.
Yes, what an enormous human being.
He's the main MP guy, right?
Right.
So he goes out there.
Oh, really, you've got to listen. You've got to watch yesterday's On The Bounce.
It was so good yesterday.
No, watch it because you could see him. He is like Marvin, who works for us. Marvin said he's all of us put together.
He was all of us couch.
He's broader than I am tall.
He's 140 kilograms, and his body fat percentage is like 6.5 on an average day.
He's unbelievable.
But he's also such a great guy.
What a specimen.
And he tells great stories. So you gotta watch that show from yesterday. And he said when he got to Nelspruit, you get there 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock for rehearsals. Oaks are drinking and brying.
In the morning.
Outside the stadium, it's on.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Yes.
It's a proper shift. So the box, we play Scotland, we play Wales, we play England, end of year tour. So that's what, November the 6th or 7th, kick that off again. But United Rugby Championships, This is what we need to focus on now. It's a really, really big deal. So the Glasgow Warriors are the defending champions. They've started okay. They'll be beating Cardiff straight out tonight, 8:35. Scarlets versus Connacht, 8:35. And then tomorrow, the SA teams are in the mix. So if you're in around the Ellis Park area, Lions versus Edinburgh at 2:15, Bulls versus Ulster at 4:00, and then the Dragons, they'll be hosting the Sharks. Sharks away. They should have beaten Connacht last week. They got away to an incredible start, and then they just choked the crap out of it, which I hope doesn't bode badly for their whole season because they are on the up and up. Benetton will take on Leicester. Zebra versus the Stormers. The Stormers got a bit handled last week by the Ospreys, unfortunately. And then Munster will be taking on Ospreys. Munster just lost to an Italian team out of nowhere. So there's a lot of redemption there to be had. And if you're still into cricket, now I know everyone's going to go,
yeah, exactly.
I actually want to have a show where we talk about how cricket's become.
Well,
do it. We're going to do that soon. So SA played Afghanistan, T20 series, lost.
To Afghanistan.
SA played Ireland, T20 series, drew 1-1. Embarrassing. But now they're playing against Ireland in an ODI series. This is all happening in Abu Dhabi-esque, that place. So the games are boring as hell because those pitches are boring. But they Proteas won the first ODI. Okay. They rattled the Irish.
Okay.
And the Irish look like a ragtag bunch of club cricketers. They really do. The captain's a bit fat. He's a ginger guy balding a bit. They look like they're having a jaw, these oaks, basically.
A bit fat.
He's a bit fat. And our guys, who are professionals, are taking on these oaks. So there's a game on today. There's another game on Monday. But another cool thing to watch this week, which is one of the big features within golf, is the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. So Johan Rupert, obviously, he can do whatever he wants in his life, but he also does really amazing things within sport.
Yeah.
And he obviously had the dream. He wants to take over St. Andrews for a week for a tournament. So there's only two Sundays of ever where you play golf on the old course of St. Andrews. It's when the Open Championship is getting played and when the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship concludes. Otherwise, no one ever plays golf on Sunday because that's open ground.
Right.
It's very special. They play Carnoustie, which is beautiful. They play King's Barnes and they play the old course. And it's a star-studded field because it's a pro-am. Like Rory McIlroy plays with his dad.
That's very cool.
It's so, so cool. So there's huge celebrities you can watch on the golf course. And then come Sunday, it's the final round. So that's for the golf.
Does Johan play?
He does. He's teamed up with Louis Oosthuizen. He often pairs with Louis.
Is he quite good?
He plays. I don't know what his current handicap is. Obviously, he's a little bit older now.
Yeah.
But it's his event and such vision. It's one thing to be able to have money and influence, but the vision to have this event is incredible.
That's one of the things he really cares about.
And it's a real value add to golf. He does a lot of golf. He does a lot for Scottish golf as well.
Okay.
It's probably like one of the trade offs, but the guy's got vision and he always wants everyone to play golf.
Right.
And this tournament it's amazing. The weather's obviously shite because of Scotland, but it's a really cool thing to watch. And those are your big things for the sport this weekend. I know there is UFC as well. There's UFC 307, but the cards haven't been great, and I'm not going to sit here and get excited about something because Alex Pereira is taking on Khalil Rountree. The guy's already had 5 losses. It's not like the most natural title fight. The next UFC, when Ilia Topuria gets back, Max Holloway, will go harder on that one.
Okay.
That's a better card.
All right.
It's just a lot more better like title fights.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. Quick look at the sport. One of the sports I indulge in is seeing people do stupid stuff on the internet.
Yes.
So I found this clip of a woman doing a voiceover for Disney. So she's auditioning to do the voiceover for the animated show for Disney. But she gets it really horribly wrong. And I wonder if you can identify how. Take a look.
I'm 22 years old and I'm reading for the role of narrator in Princess Party. Just let me know when I can start.
Petunia Tabernacle emerged from the castle with a young frog. She took the frog and kissed him squarely on the lips. When she kissed the frog, he turned into a prince.
Felicity, could you do it a little bit more feminine, a little softer?
I'm so sorry. Just the note said that the narrator was wise beyond her years. Okay. Nope.
I mean, she's good, but not what they were looking for.
Something a bit more feminine.
The narrator. Can we have just something a little more feminine, Felicia?
Why does she envisage old woman then?
I don't know. It's not good. It's not good. I mean, it's a character voice, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. All right. So how about this? Here's a picture of Bruce Springsteen that someone posted on the internet. Okay. And it's getting a lot of reaction. Not good reaction. Bruce Springsteen, okay, he's been around a long time, but look at that. Something going on there. I don't know why the shirt is ripped there. And he, I mean, it looks like he has breasts instead of pecs, but the guy's in decent shape.
Decent shape. He was on a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode kind of recently.
Yeah.
So he was on there.
But I don't know what's going on. He just turned 75, which is pretty damn impressive. I mean, listen, if I can look like that at 75, I will count myself as being extremely fortunate. So I'm not knocking Bruce Springsteen. But the funniest part of this is that people are saying, like, oh, wow, I thought that was Tilda Swinton.
Yes, I can see it. Absolutely. Just slightly bigger breasts.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got bigger breasts than Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
And then somebody else said Megan Rapinoe from the soccer team, the U.S. female soccer team.
Pretty little bit, yeah.
But I got to tell you, like, I think he looks pretty good for a 75-year-old man, a rock star. Most of his contemporaries are dead from drugs.
Yes.
He's done very well. So I just thought it was worth a remark. Well done, Bruce Springsteen, even if you do look a bit like Tilda Swinton in that particular picture.
I wonder if rock stars now have more fun because, again, you look at the contemporaries, they're all dead or useless. Mm. They must get an extra kick about it because when they're young, everyone's young around them. Now they're like these icons. I can do this in my 70s. Must be a bit of a kick for them.
And I think it must be quite cool to take to the stage and like entertain people at 75 and your voice is a little different so people want to hear it. They don't expect it to be exactly the same. And you kind of rule the roost. Sure. You don't have anything to prove. So if it's shit, then you say to people, huh, tough luck. You paid.
I'm 75.
Yeah, it's shit. So deal with it. How are we doing for time? We got to take a break. So when we come back, I will tell you about famous African sayings. Okay, from all over the continent. I'm going to look at famous African sayings. You don't think there are some, but there are some, and they're brilliant. I'll fill you in on all of that and more. Stick around. The Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. It is Friday, baby.